Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The secret to catching prize-worthy fish? Fishing like a local. Jonas Knox here with Fishing Booker. The valuable knowledge of a local guide can turn a fishing trip of no bites into the best catch of the day. Go to fishingbooker.com to discover thousands of local fishing charters from all around the world and create your perfect angling adventure with their easy-to-use online booking system. Visit fishingbooker.com and book your trip today. Fishing Booker. Fishing trips made easy.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the best of two pros and a cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
LeVar,
yes.
I'm not sure if you you heard this yesterday, but okay. It happened. They did it.
They
banned the hip drop tackle
at
the NFL owner meetings down in Orlando, Florida, even going against the advice of the NFLPA, which was one of the more odd things that we typically see when we're talking about player safety issues. Typically, the NFLPA, the NFL are usually in alignment with one another. Quite possibly the best tweet that I saw to go along with it was a player saying, and I quote, "Hey, bros, we're good with the hip drop tackle. Why don't you ban turf fields?" And I thought to myself, interesting point, you know, but that would cost the owners a lot more to have to actually maintain and have grass fields as opposed to turf fields. But
very interesting.
We've talked about this earlier this spring at length, but now that it is a 15-yard penalty and they're trying to outlaw it from the NFL, what are your thoughts?
You know, I could complain about it. I could support it. There's a lot of different angles that could be taken. I just ultimately feel as though we're at a point now where the way things are done in our society are purely based off of preparing for what the reactions are to society. And football has a very, very large microscope lens, you know, magnifying everything that takes place because everybody seemingly pays attention to football. And so to me, I just feel like, and this is just me being honest, you know, for better or for worse, I just think ever since CTE, ever since the movie, you know, with Will Smith, ever since concussions, ever since that's become the
this is before he slapped Chris Rock, just we're on the same page.
Yes, before the slap to Chris Rock. I think that it has been a constant battle for the NFL to maintain the relevance of football and even the participation of football. Because if you think about other sports, like I use the example of, well, boxing is boxing, you know, or MMA is MMA, but in reality, it's a very niche. It's very, very niche in terms of, it's not really mainstream. That's not something that you're, you know, oh, you know, we're going to do club, you know, more, you know, mixed martial arts. We're going to do club boxing. It's just not something that's a part of our childhood, our youth, but you will go out and you'll play street hockey or you'll play street football or different things like that. And then you start to figure out where you're going to go do participation, Q. And I think ever since concussions, it has scared the bejesus out of people and feeling as though they're not being good parents by allowing their kids to play tackle. And there have been all of these different issues that have come out of it. And whether now you make a rule that, okay, well, it's lessening the ankle injury or a knee injury or something like that. I just think that the topic of conversation surrounding the safety of the game has been at an all-time high ever since CTE became a part of the NFL.
Yeah, no, I think there's been more of a concern about the well-being of the game. And I guess looking at the golden goose, since the NFL owners continue to make more and more money, whether that's from the TV rights media deal or from the partnerships with gambling partners or books, if you will, I think they look at the ways that they don't want to spoil the golden goose for everyone that's involved. And so to your point, clearly the CTE issue, the concussion issue, was something that gave them grave concern. And, you know, I'm not sure how you were, which side of the fence you were on. I think the more you dove into it, the more you looked at it and said, you know, could CTE be a direct correlation with, you know, the game of football and the hits to the head, et cetera? Of course. The problem is there was a lot of other sports that ended up coming up that looked to be problematic based on concussions or head injuries too, that led you to kind of say,
women's
all right,
soccer.
I don't know if it's
yeah, women's
again,
soccer,
women's
was
soccer
the worst. Yeah.
with the headers and everything else. Mm-hmm. And you go, okay, well, if we're going to stop playing football, then we're going to stop playing soccer as well. And there just became a lot of other questions that came about from it. And I don't know that we got to a point where we said, all right, this is the single thing that's causing this. Mm-hmm. It might attribute to it, but we don't know if it's the singular cause
that's
of
right.
this.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, I do think that really sparked a fire under the league to sit there and look at every single issue and say, what could possibly cause us to lose out on money or cause us to lose viewership? And that's why you see the greater protection to quarterbacks, mm-hmm. because they feel like if they don't have starters out there, people don't go to games, people stop watching. That's what they're selling these games on, is the face of the franchise, the quarterback. So they're protected now in the pocket. They're protected when they get outside the pocket. That's continued to improve. As I've said to you before, I think the hip drop tackle, because it's occurred, I guess, more often, and it's increased the amount of injuries to lower, you know, extremities. It's been a byproduct to me of the way the game has evolved. It's more spread out. Players are taking, you know, worse angles because it's more spread out, because you have more skilled players in space. Yeah. And it's caused them to then have to adjust to just trying to get a guy down on the ground. I don't know that it's malicious in any way. And I think that's the tough part is, when you see the NFLPA come out and recommend that they keep this tackle still in the game because it seems to be more of an accident than anything else, and the NFL owners just do whatever they want, it highlighted two things for me. The direction of this league is always going to be driven by the owners. It's really the only league that I look at and say where the owners have that much leverage and power, and the players are helpless. Because this is an instance where, again, like the other side of the conversation, the ones that are actually being impacted by it, there's a lot of guys who don't want to see it banned, understand that it's not intentional, and want to have a part of the game. Now, there's some players, too, who understand why it's a penalty and why they're trying to ban it. They get that. There's guys who have been injured by it. And I'm not saying that they don't have, you know, similar viewpoints to the owners and wanting to ban it. But if we're being honest with ourselves, it is going to be incredibly hard to add another subjective call to the officials, which is what we're doing. And if you don't think there's going to be more drama, if you don't think there's going to be more arguments to be made about what's a hip drop tackle, as the NFL has even tried to now clarify the difference between the two. So what they're trying to outlaw is essentially the type where a player jumps, you know, up and puts all his weight on the back of a ball carrier as he's trying to bring him down, and then drops down his hips on the back of his legs. Yeah. Like anything else, there's varying degrees of that. So I think this highlights probably what is, like, I guess if your league is battling this issue, it's probably a good thing for your league. But it seems like the NFL at times almost is too careful with the way they go about trying to adjust or change the game. But yet it never seems to impact it once the season comes around. Ratings are up as high as ever. Most watched Super Bowl this past year. And so it always reverts me back to the, if it's not broke, why are we trying to fix it? I mean, that seems to be like an age-old adage that I don't know if we talk about enough, but I don't know that we got to the point of the hip drop tackle that we really needed to make a change this season.
Yeah.
I mean, was that an overwhelming thing? Every Sunday you walked away going, man, they need to get rid of that hip drop tackle, don't they?
And that's interesting to position it that way, because for me, I never called any tackle a specific tackle.
Right.
I just tackled, Q. Like, the bottom line was, the one thing I knew not to do was to drop my head. And you want to know what's crazy? The only reason why I was taught not to drop my head and I subscribed to it was because that's where your body's going to go. Wherever your eyes are, that's where your body's going to go. If you have your eyes down, I'm going to miss. If I drop my head at the last second to try to make contact with somebody, there's a chance that they could stiff arm me, they could get out of my way, I could miss. I lost vision. I lost sight of where my target was. That was the only reason. Not because I was going to get hurt. Not because I was going to get a concussion or I could break my neck or anything like that. Now, as I became older in the game, I started to realize that, of course, you know, you don't want to take that type of damage onto your head by making contact that way. And that's why I wore a cowboy collar. And I would turtle. I called it turtling. That's the only terminology I ever.
So not when you have to go to the bathroom.
No.
Like it's
the turtle. Gotcha. Turtle heading was okay. Basically like sinking your head back into your cowboy collar, which stabilized my head. And so I could make contact and my head, you know, not go all kinds of different directions because I had nothing supporting my head and my neck. That was pretty much it. You know, I just started thinking about, like, okay, they're creating all of these terms for how you tackle and different things like that. Let me tell you something. I was 6'3", some may say 6'4", I don't know, I was 6'3". And I was 255 pounds in the league, and I struggled to be able to not only catch up to a Fred Taylor or to a Michael Pittman, but the force of the impact when you make contact with a Pittman, when you make contact with a Fred Taylor or a Jerome Bettis, or a Lorenzo Neal or a Sam Gash, you're just trying to get them down. That is it. That's it. You're trying to get them to the ground. And I think what's getting lost in all of this, which I think this is probably the first year we'll see it, and it'll probably be very, very significant, is how difficult it's going to be to tackle at this point in time. And I know the people, you know, are, you know, we probably have NFL people listening to our show, and they'll probably sit there and be cringing and stuff like that. But you know what? I was a part of heads up tackling. I was a part of teaching fundamentals of tackling. I'm very deep and very well versed in how you teach proper tackling, Q.
Right.
And I just feel like there's no perfect scenario to tackling, and that's what, if you can understand that there's no perfect scenario, meaning that you always, tackling is always about improvising. And improvising means you're like MacGyver. You got to figure out what's the best way to get an end result with what
it's
you
Serengeti
have.
It's the Serengeti out there.
It's the Serengeti, bro. Yeah. Now, I never heard anybody say this is out of bounds.
Out
Lions,
of line, yeah.
Lions, you can't take gazelles. down the same way you take wildebeest down. You can't take, you know, elephants down the same way you take, you know, a hyena down. Like, got no hip dropping, no none of that. Like, I don't know, man. I know it's about participation, and I know it's about all those other things, but I just feel like at some point, just it's football, it's full contact. When you're ready to play, play. That's it.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. We've talked about this before. Like, my viewpoint is just as an offensive player and watching how the game has evolved and changed from how they try to teach tackling. As I really do feel this is a byproduct of the rugby style tackle. It's caused players to take poor angles, or when they are attacking the hips and the way they try to get their head to the side of the ball carrier, it's caused them to, at times, if they're, you know, behind the player, they have no other choice other than to try to wrap their heads on the wrong side. And their only way they can try to stop their momentum is trying to use their weight, their body, and then drop.
Yes.
And it ends up dropping on the legs or the lower extremities of that ball carrier.
And it is what it is. I mean, I honestly,
you
speaking
described
to
it
me,
as what,
it just
hitting
is
the
what
second,
it is.
Third man is what hit you said. When
yeah,
you tackle.
That's when you can drive through. But what right. you're, what we're talking about, that's more bulldogging. That's like yeah. if you've ever been to, or DDTing, if you've ever been to like a rodeo, like you're not, like, have all of these rules for how you're going to take down a cow. A stare or whatever. Like,
I don't know. You're the one who's been to Cheyenne. I don't have belt buckles like that.
All buddy. yeah, I'm gonna get a new one too. All I know is this: there are certain ways you take bulls down, and there are some bulls that are on the football field, and we're going to see how that looks. Like, imagine you can't hip drop, you know, Henry. You can't hip drop. Or like, cowboy collaring was interesting, because until Roy started flipping onto your legs, like, there shouldn't have been no problem with cowboy collaring somebody. I mean, really, because most times a lot of these guys are too fast for you to catch them. So if I can get a hold of something that is a lever of taking away your balance, then I'm going to do it. I was known for cowboy collaring, horse collaring guys. But, you know, when Roy started bringing his body around and swinging his legs into the back of their legs, then they felt a certain type of way. And I got that. I understand it. But I'm just saying, I wonder how many of the people that are making these decisions have really ever tried to tackle on a consistent basis.
No, they haven't.
You know, yeah,
again, it's part of the evolution of the game, too. I keep going back to, you know, bigger guys like tight ends that you get out in space, and those bigger bodies are running backs that you get out in space who are, you know, called to catch the football more out of the backfield. That's where you get it. You don't have those, you know, straight head-up tackles anymore. You've got angles that you got to play with.
Yeah.
And again, it's a byproduct of how the game's changed. And they're trying to make the game safer. I get that. I understand that I am a quarterback, former quarterback, so I don't really get to have an opinion on all of this. But you as a defender, I think I'm more interested in it. And I, once again, the defenders have to adjust. You know, you're like, you know, Bill Bellamy and How to Be a Player.
Yeah.
You know, true players adjust, he says.
Yeah,
but
that's what they do.
That's what defenders have to be.
Yep, and they're going to have to continue to. But you're going to see, I think this rule here is going to create so much thought and your approach, that there's going to be a lot of, I just don't know how upset people can get when their defenses falter and some of the things that happen in a game, because I just think that it's creating such an area of concern, an area of confusion, and a state of what the hell am I supposed to do for defenders, especially, I would say 100%, especially for smaller defenders.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who could help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer and Mental Wealth Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox, and you know O'Reilly Auto Parts, you know, O'Reilly, who are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. And by the way, I was just at O'Reilly not that long ago, within the last month, and guess what? Needed some help with the alternator, had some questions with the batteries. They helped me right away and did it right there in the parking lot. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit them at O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/2pros. Hey, it's Jonas Knox. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low, not sure you can pull out a win. That's when you dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game, pull off some bank heists, and take as much of my friend's money as I possibly can. That's right, the smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do. Play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards, make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, charge other players rent for your iconic properties. You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love are in discussions, preliminary discussions, for a contract extension. Now, remember, before last year, before the first season, Jordan Love started for the Green Bay Packers, Jordan Love decided to sign a contract that paid him about $8.8 million signing bonus, and it extended him out an additional year into 2024. Guaranteed him about $13.5 million over the course of the 2023-2024 seasons. Now, looking back on it, if you're the Packers, you know, maybe this worked out well for you because you found out you got a franchise quarterback, a guy who's going to follow in the footsteps of what we saw from Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers now to Jordan Love. And it feels like you found your next guy. And you were able to get him for relatively very cheap last season and this season because Jordan Love and his agent agreed to that contract. The hard part is now they've got to pay up, but they're still going to be able to get Jordan Love for less than they would have for this reason. Jordan Love and his representation decided to not press free agency. Once it was decided to not pick up the fifth-year option, which would have been an option potentially for the Green Bay Packers. They worked out this kind of year extension, which really was more team-friendly in nature. Because had they not worked out this one-year extension, what you would have had was Jordan Love would have had to be franchise-tagged, which would have netted him this year over $38 million under the tag. Now, granted, they probably still would have worked out a longer-term deal, but because they would have worked out that first year of the tag, you would assume that they would have at least found the structure of this long-term deal and incorporating 3 years under the tag, which would be a ton of money. And I'm not saying that Jordan Love's still not going to make a lot of money under this contract extension, whenever this takes place, assuming it takes place this offseason. But if it doesn't, they only have themselves to blame. And if they don't maximize that contract value, they only have themselves to blame. Because, yes, they didn't take the risk, and that's every player's decision with the contract they sign. I'm sure they're okay with it. But had they played out last year and not signed this extension, Jordan Love would be in line for a huge contract, leveraging free agency or multiple years under the franchise tag against whatever the Green Bay Packers are willing to offer. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, because they didn't take that position, they now find themselves still under team control for another year and in a potential franchise tag year after that. So it's worked out much better for the Packers than it has for Jordan Love and his agent.
Well, this is what I'll say to the Jordan Love situation. He was a pleasant, what are we going to say, mid to late season surprise for the Green Bay Packers. I still think where he's at right now, it could have easily gone the Trey Lance direction. It could have easily turned into a Zach Wilson situation where you get in and the results aren't reflective of where you were drafted or even what the expectation could have been for you. Jordan Love got in there and has now positioned himself for the future. If he can come back and do what he did this past season and build on that, then I think all the rest of these details will eventually work themselves out. He will eventually have worked himself into, I mean, you'd have to assume at this point he's now pushing himself to be in line for one of those massive contracts. But when you say he would have been a free agent and on the free agent market, are you saying this year or would it have been next year?
No, it would have been this year. So he was actually playing out last year, the final year of his rookie deal, which the Packers elected to, instead of picking up the fifth-year option, agree to this one-year extension.
He would have been the number two quarterback on the market.
I actually would make the case he would have been the number one quarterback.
I wouldn't be against that.
I think when you look at how he started playing week 10 and it started versus the Chargers through the rest of the season, I think he only threw one interception during that span from week 10 to week 17 and really played lights out. Like at that point, I thought he was carrying the team after a slow start to it. It was a young team. It was always going to take some time to grow. Up. But I thought he showcased everything you needed to see in that second half of the season to let you know that he's ready to be the guy for Green Bay. The unfortunate part for him and his agents is they would have rather probably pressed free agency and said, no, we're not willing to accept that deal.
Let me ask you this. Why does the agent make that decision? Is there any defense for the agent doing what it is that he did?
Probably playing out this scenario of, hey, if you play really well, we'll still work to get a long-term deal done after the season, and it's really not going to matter as much. So you get a little extra pay bump right now, and then we're still going to get a long-term deal done if everything goes well. That's most likely what he said to his player. However, again, if you look at your ability to maximize your market value, you're just not going to have that chance now. And I remember talking to Andrew Brand about this, who used to be in the front office for the Green Bay Packers. And he would always say, you know, they would never try to let a player they really value, but in particular a quarterback, get close to free agency. Because they always knew that was for, whether it was with Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, that was always the scariest thing for the team because, A, you risk potentially losing the player, but, B, you knew you were going to pay a premium for his services because he got that much closer to being able to leverage what he's doing on the field with versus potential other teams out there who are suitors.
Whew.
So that's the tough part is, you know, there's millions probably in guarantees and so forth that were left on the table because you don't have the ability to leverage that franchise tag for multiple years or even, you know, free agency as far as it being a true reality for the Green Bay Packers because of this extension, because they allowed the team to have additional control of their player for an additional year. And obviously they could still use the tag after this year.
Mm-hmm.
So if discussions break down, they ask for too much and Jordan Love has to do it again, they could just slap on the franchise tag afterwards.
You think
so
they would, that's the hard thing they would this. Do that?
Of course. I mean, any team would do it if maybe they had some questions about him and what they're asking to be paid as a long-term extension. But I'll keep going back to this. The Daniel Jones contract, which Jordan Love and his representations clearly try to surpass, he's going to be getting paid north of $40 million per year, average annual value.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they were, again, utilizing in the franchise tag or could have pressed free agency, you're talking about $50 million per year, most likely, is what it should have been, with $150 million guaranteed or somewhere in the ballpark of that number, where I don't know if it'll be quite as strong as it would have been if this was the case.
Mm. I think Jordan Love is in a very strategically strong position because I believe the fan base subscribes to him and there wasn't any type of contractual fallout of any sort or even public display or spectacle of it. And so to me, if he does come to the table and ask for a lot of money, I mean, even if he gets a franchise tag, that's going to be a S load of money. And so if he continues to bet on himself because he has to, if he ends up on the franchise tag, I still think that he puts himself in a position to get the biggest contract in Green Bay. Now, with that being said, I thought that that was the case with Kirk Cousins, and clearly it wasn't, and he ended up somewhere else. So it'd be interesting to see if he were to make it to free agency, which, by the way, I mean, he still, again, has to have another good season. But, I mean, I don't see why, if I'm Green Bay, why I would ever let a quarterback that showed the promise that Jordan Love did this past season, why would you let him get away when you've had such a great track record of having, you know, great quarterbacks?
Yeah, I don't think they'll let him get away. But I also don't know that, again, he'll be able to maximize his market value because of the decisions they made to kind of put themselves in this position now where the team has the control. So, again, they'll give him a big deal. It comes down to whether or not that happens this offseason or after another season next year. They may have to use the franchise tag as a conduit to find themselves in that deal. But one thing is for sure. I mean, Green Bay drafted him. They traded up to get him. There's a lot of drama that ensued from that. And whether it's Brian Gutekunst or Matt LaFleur, I think they both want to make sure they keep a guy that they've invested a lot into and moving on from a first ballot Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox, and you know O'Reilly Auto Parts, you know, O'Reilly, who are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. And by the way, I was just at O'Reilly not that long ago, within the last month, and guess what? Needed some help with the alternator, had some questions with the batteries. They helped me right away and did it right there in the parking lot. The professional parts parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit them at OReillyAuto.com/2pros. That's OReillyAuto.com/2pros. Hey, it's Jonas Knox. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low, not sure you can pull out a win. That's when you dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game, pull off some bank heists, and take as much of my friend's money as I possibly can. That's right, the smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do. Play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards, make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, charge other players rent for your iconic properties. You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, we finally got, I guess, our first indication of maybe what the heck happened with Shohei Ohtani and his translator, as Shohei Ohtani sat down and provided a prepared statement yesterday afternoon. It was communicated by his interpreter or translator, Will Ironton, who's not the alleged translator who obviously might have put Ohtani in this mess. But let's go to a little bit of sound, then we'll react to that off the backside of this.
On a personal note, I'm very saddened and shocked that someone who I'm trusted has done this. So I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf, and I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports. Up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening. In conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies. Ipe never revealed to me that there was this media inquiry. And to the representatives in my camp, Ipe told to the media and to my representatives that I, on behalf of a friend, paid off debt. Upon further questioning, it was revealed that it was actually, in fact, Ipe who was in debt, and told my representatives that I was paying off those debt. And this, all of this, has been a complete lie.
I believe it.
Do you?
That was my first reaction. Is I believed it.
You think you got taken advantage of?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's the hard thing is I don't. If there wasn't any confusion with how it was originally communicated, I don't think people would have as much skepticism. But that's the hard part about this, is the way the story initially was presented was that Ohtani was helping out a friend who had a gambling problem. And that was the first word. Then the next word comes out, no, wait a second, Ohtani had no idea that his friend, his translator, had this gambling issue. And in fact, he was stealing millions of dollars from him to cover his debt. And once that came out, then you're like, wait a second, there's a little bit of a delay here. Clearly there's a language barrier as well. And there's cultural barriers. I've said this before, you know, in certain cultures, you know, you go over to Europe, gambling's been around forever. It's been around for as long as time. And you can't sit there and say that, you know, that doesn't play a role in how people view gambling. You know, I don't care if it's legalizing alcohol. You know, in the States, it's 21. In Europe, it's 18. And it's viewed a lot different because kids are introduced to it earlier in their you know, childhood. And so they don't view it quite the same way as it's viewed sometimes in the States. And so I feel like when you compare cultures to it, it's something that's existed in Japan for quite a long period of time. It might not be frowned upon quite as much. There might be some times that it's overlooked in regards to when you lay a bet or how you place a bet. And again, I'm not trying to make the accusation that Ohtani was doing this, but I think even as we're all kind of digesting this and understanding how to view it, there's that element of things where, yeah, there's some differences. And I think the way this story was initially communicated, it led people to be skeptical. And there's even people, LeVar, I've been kind of searching through some social media, and if you go down that wormhole long enough, you will find people who will go back and they'll look like just what the NBA has been doing, what Lee brought up earlier. They'll look at some irregular bets that were placed, and they will then try to track it back to performance and if there was something that in that game that looked a little bit fishy. And that's the hard part about all this, is it really does open up a new can of worms for Major League Baseball, their investigative arm, and really all professional sports in America as we start to integrate gambling into professional sports and how we go about managing all of this.
You know what cup of worms I feel like has been opened? Is there is a plausible way to have deniability on placing bets. Like, this is believable, all right? Like, I feel like Ohtani's spokesperson or his
translator
really stole from him.
Yeah.
So if all I got to do is, if I'm placing bets and we're doing bets, like, look, you get caught, you stole. Right. We get caught,
he's
you
the fall guy.
Right? I mean, it seems like there's plausible deniability there. Like, I wasn't betting. I don't know nothing about betting, but my money was involved. Yeah. Like, I mean, a bet is a bet. Whether I placed a bet or I had, like, when I had Jonas place that bet, Lee, you were sitting with me. When I had Jonas place that bet for that boxing match, I was sitting on that. I would have went to sleep. You would have had to woke me up. The only reason why I didn't fall asleep on that comfortable-ass couch was because Jonas placed that bet. Now, granted, he placed the bet with my money. I could deny that I ever placed that bet because, literally, I did not go place that bet. But he did use my money. So if anything were to come out like, oh, you know, I can't work for Fox Radio anymore, it was Jonas.
Right. He was your fall guy.
Jonas did it.
I'll take this one step further, all right? Because I feel like we can relate to what Shohei Ohtani is going through right now. Because Lee essentially stole money off us.
Yes.
To buy what we thought.
For the lottery tickets.
Were lotto tickets.
And instead, good money that could have gotten us lottery tickets that would have won.
Went to his booze fund.
Yeah. That's exactly what.
Nope.
Which I never gave him any money anyway.
Lee, just, you literally took half the money and went and bought booze with it.
I had the receipts. I showed you the tickets that I bought.
Yes, that's why we're telling you this.
Just because I bought booze when I bought the lotto tickets doesn't mean I used your money on the lotto tickets.
Yeah, Lee, the math did not add up. We've done this. We've done this before.
We have. We have indeed. I showed, what, 80 different lotto ticket picks?
No, you, here's the problem, is you ended up taking, you never put in your money for it. You bought booze with your money, and then you claimed you are part of our chance to win the lotto based on the money we put in for the tickets.
That part might have been true, because you guys were putting down way more money than I wanted to put down.
Dang.
We all agreed on the number. That's, what did we all give, 20 bucks?
No, everyone gave different amounts, that was the thing.
No,
did I give money? Maybe I did give. Did I give money?
You gave money.
You eventually gave money. I think I had to front you for a while.
Oh. You had to front me?
Yeah, that's why I didn't. That's why. And by the way, I need to get my booze.
Dang, you weren't front when you got that top shelf wine.
Where's Lorena? Is Lorena in on this? Lorena, how do you view this situation?
I'm still shocked that Lee just pulled lotto tickets out of his wallet right now.
I did.
I had no idea this was a thing.
You still have them?
Well, the not last year's one.
The latest ones.
But I do have the winning. I do have the winning Powerball ticket right here, so I'll let you guys in on it.
Lee, if you won the Powerball,
you're never going to see me again.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Actually, I'd probably keep showing up for a while.
Would you give us any of that money?
True. I'd give it to you, but not tell you where it came from.
Would you really?
Yeah, I'd figure something out.
I think you should just order us breakfast every day.
No, I would not tell anybody that I had won, but there'd be hints.
Breakfast would be nice.
There'd be hints.
I would just be rocking the 40 straight up. I wouldn't care about anything.
Dang. Dang.
Lee, you are one of a kind, dude. But here's the only thing I'll ask LeVar, because you've kind of changed course as we try to steer this thing back on track. Initially, you said like $4.5 million, like you're going to recognize that from your bank account.
Yes.
So is that where you're still skeptical about the
story? I mean, wouldn't you be?
I'm skeptical
about it, because if we're saying this happened over a period of time.
Like, here's the hard thing is that it's that point. If it happened over a period of time, I mean, who knows if, you know, he bought a property, he, you know, is doing some work on the property, maybe it costs a lot, and that's, you see some of that money go, and then there's some expenses, there's some, like, who knows what what's being translated.
Was this over a year's time? How long was it for? See, I feel like there needs to be more information, because if there was a tax season that went by and his you know, financial people didn't tell him what was going on, there's an issue. Like, now you have another person that's liable. Like, your financial person should be let go and should be being questioned as well, because I just – that's such a large amount of money. Even if you have $100 million plus whatever in the bank, $4 million is still a significant amount of money to come out of your bank account. And right. And so, to me, I know it could be easy to, and I don't, you know, I don't, culturally speaking, I'm not sure, you know, how Shohei would handle it, but I just know I came from, I wasn't poor, but I definitely wasn't, you know, I didn't grow up wealthy, rich. I had some privilege, but just not a lot of it. I know the value of a dollar.
Right.
And so, to me, I don't know what Shohei's his beginning is, but if you come from a certain point of a place in life, you pay attention to how much you're saving, because you ultimately want to live the life the way you want to live your life moving forward in life, and you manage your money so that you can do so, which means that $4.5 million, there's something, like, I need to know where that went.
Right.
So that's what makes me – that gives me cause for pause.
That's a good point about the accountant. I mean, Lee, does it say how long back this goes? I don't think we've been given those details, have we?
I'll find this answer for you.
To me, I just feel like when you have that type of money, you probably have a financial institution looking at your money.
Right.
I know for me, when I have large transactions take place, shots out to Morgan Stanley, they hit me up quick.
What's up, Morgan Stanley?
Yeah, they'll hit me up. They won't just email me. They'll hit me up and
they'll
be like, there was a large amount of money, da-da-da. We just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
And so to me.
It's usually the wives.
However it works, I get a call. Yeah. Like, you know, hey, how you doing? It's now first name basis, too. It's like, it used to be Mr. Arrington. Listen, we've been rocking. I get first name basis, like, just wanted to call, make sure, LeVar, that everything was, you know, is okay, da-da-da, this and that, this, you approved this, boom, 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 done. It's a quick second. Like,
right.
it takes literally, like, a minute to 2 minutes out of your time, out of your day, to confirm it, ask them how they're doing, how's the family doing, everybody good, okay, great, have a great day, boom, done. So, to me, somebody who has way more money than I do, you're telling me you don't have safeguards in your setup where if 100,000, 200,000, because in the grand scheme of things, that for a one-time amount is a lot. That's a lot. So why is there not a red flag just flagging in general to make sure that this is coming from Mr. Otani himself? That seems weird to me.
Lee, do you have more of an update on that?
Yes. Well, so he was hired back in 2018, but during his statement, he says he started placing bets with that Southern California bookmaker back in 2021 when he met him at a poker game and took on a line of credit.
Oh, okay.
So he took on a line of credit. So basically, he took the entire $4.5 million off of Shohei at one point in time to pay back the line of credit? Or did he – I mean, I don't know if you know this.
He took on the line of credit so he could bet without having to put in all the cash.
Right. I get that. I get that part. But what I'm saying is when he started to have to pay the line of credit back – because I'm assuming that's when it went bad, is when he had to pay the line of credit back. So if you're having to pay that line of credit back, is he paying it back – all at once? Did the 4.5 go out all at once?
No, it was a trickling effect. He had said by the end of 2022 he had amassed over $1 million in losses, and then so it kept on accumulating from there.
Well, there's interest too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I just don't see how that goes undetected. I really don't. I don't see how that goes undetected.
Yeah. It does seem a bit hard that, you know, maybe the financial team was in on it too, or there's much more to the story. And that's the hard thing, is we'll hopefully continue to find out details, but I think what this is providing a glimpse into is the Pandora's box for all these professional leagues of dealing with gambling accusations or even just the parties that are around players. I mean, think about how many people players talk to during the course of a week that could have some insider knowledge, whether that's an agent, whether that is a financial advisor, a friend, a buddy, someone who could be taking some of those conversations about the status or health of a player, and, you know, even people around the facilities, you know, people who are around the organizations, who are the training staff, the equipment, etc. I mean, they have in-depth knowledge as to the day-to-day operations and workings of those teams, of those players, who's playing, who's not, what the scheme looks like, and they can give you a sense of that. If a guy's having a good week, bad week, dealing with personal tragedy, I mean, I think you can understand there's a never, you know, ending list of things that could lend itself to the advantage of a sports bettor or to a book or to one person placing that bet. And that is the Pandora's box when you open up sports gambling, and how that's going to be regulated is probably the biggest question.
I just know from here on out, I'll tell my sons, my daughters, my friends, if you ever are in a professional sport and you decide you want to gamble, just have somebody gamble for you and just tell them, I didn't know. Like, I helped them pay off their debt because they're my people, but I didn't know that that's what the money was going to. There you go.
Plausible deniability.
How can you say that they're lying?
No, I mean, again, I guess in this case, unless there's further investigation where they have hardcore proof or evidence, they can't. And it's one of the reasons why P. Rose kind of speaking up on it, saying, you know, I wish he would have had a translator back when he was playing it. It adds an element of comedy to it, only because, you know, clearly he's got his own thoughts of what he thinks is going on. But whether that's the case or not, it seems like it's that simple, that maybe his career is looked at differently than how it is today.
Mm. Let's go.
This is really big news.
Two pros in a cup of Joe want you to know.
Sounds familiar.
If they're in.
Yeah, please.
Or if they're out.
All right, Lee.
All right, guys. It's been announced that the NFL Hall of Fame game on August 1st is going to be between the Bears and the Texans in Canton. You guys in or out on that?
I feel like they're trying to force the hand of the Bears, and even Caleb Williams, who probably, I mean, is he going to play in the game?
I mean,
what did the Bears trade out of the first pick?
I guess it's the first one, so no.
I don't think they're going to, man.
I would think about it. That make somebody give up their entire lives for that first pick.
I just don't think you can risk not taking
Caleb Williams.
Yeah. Unless you feel that good about
Jaden Daniels,
another one of these quarterbacks that you know you could get if you did trade out.
Right. Anyway, something to think about.
And I'm out! And I think they're putting the Texans in there because Andre Johnson's part of this Hall of Fame class. The first player who's played a majority of their career as a Texan being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Shouts out to Big Dre.
Absolutely. And plus, look, the Texans were a big storyline from last year. I don't think C.J. Stroud will play in it, but yeah, they were still a great story from last year. So I'm in. I'm able to watch that. It's in Canton. Love Ohio, you know? So I'm in on this one.
Guys, if you're looking for a good laugh, Dave Attell, if you know the comedian, old-timer Dave Attell is coming back. He's doing a Netflix special called Hot Cross Buns, talking about hard seltzers, strip clubs, unsatisfying snacks, and his wild trip to the petting zoo.
What? Is it a stand-up you said
it's
or a show?
Stand-up special.
Oh, petting zoo, huh?
I used to like him back in the day, but he's been out for a while,
he
right?
He has been. I haven't seen Dave Attell in years.
I don't even
I'd be
know
curious to
is.
See what, he's got, what kind of material he's got.
Go ahead. You be in.
All right. I'll be in. All I'll right. be in.
I'm out.
Guys, I know you're not going to join me for the Jimmy Buffett tribute concert, but if you're looking for another...
I don't know if Pitbull's there, because that makes all the sense in the world, right?
305. Let's
305.
Go.
The worldwide.
So random.
That is the most random one.
So random.
Kenny Chesney's going to be there. It's his birthday today, by the way.
Nice. Happy birthday,
nice.
Kenny.
Happy birthday, Kenny. Yeah. He's a big football fan.
He is. Nice. Yeah. If you're looking for a different festival to go to, though, it's Lollapalooza at Grant Park in Chicago in August.
Oh, yeah.
The lineup was announced. The tickets are now on
What's
sale.
The lineup?
SZA, Tyler, the Creator, Blink 182, The Killers, Hozier, Skrillex, Deftones, amongst many others.
I would be in on that.
I would be in on that, too. I've heard that's an awesome time if you're in Chicago, especially the summertime, and you can make it.
Let's go.
I've heard it's amazing. Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. Lee can't go because we probably wouldn't get him back. That's the problem.
That's probably true.
We're going.
Yeah, we can get that in right before the season starts.
Chicago Dogs. I mean, I know you're out on that, but I'm in on a Chicago Dog. Let's go.
Jonas would eat one with you, probably.
Yeah.
He's in on
some dogs in our mouth.
Would you got guys, one time for one more, Lee?
Yeah, would you guys eat churro-flavored Oreos? Oreos just announced that they have new churro flavor.
I wouldn't trust it. I would want to, but I don't trust it. I'm out.
I get that you have to expand and do these different things when you're Oreos, but you kind of made something great. Like, why mess with it?
Just stick with it.
They come out with something every week. Something new every single week from Oreos.
Every week?
Out!
Yeah. I mean, I always have something on the docket from Oreos for you guys. But the
Are you a big Oreo fan?
No, but they keep on coming up with news, and the churro one.
You are kind of
I like to keep Oreos traditional, you know, two black and one white.
Yeah, I'm there with you, Var.
All right. Okay, here we go.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.